As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, and they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
All right. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Psalm 4, if you would, this evening. Psalm 4. Good to see everybody out here on a Tuesday night. How weird is that? Service on Tuesday night, holiday on Thursday. My internal calendar will be so fouled up, it'll take me forever to get straightened out on what day it is again. If you're faithful to church all the time, you pretty much run your week based on Sunday and Wednesday. And so when something bumps that schedule, it messes your whole week up. We'll probably survive, though. It'll be a terrible thing we have to deal with. Hard life we have, isn't it? But we'll probably make do. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're sure glad you're here. It's always going to be in the Lord's house. Certainly want to be in prayer for those who are already traveling and gone for the holidays. And if you're going out, if I forget to say this when we're done, if you're going someplace, we hope you have a good time and travel safe and come back to us as quickly as you can. And then that we'll all have a good Thanksgiving. Amen. And we'll remember those things that we have to be thankful for. Psalm 4. Well, we've been working on the presence of God on Wednesday nights, and the last 4 weeks, we've been working specifically on the presence of God in prayer. And we said about 4 weeks ago that to know the presence of God, if we're going to know the presence of God, we must be a people of prayer. It's ridiculous to talk about wanting to know more of His presence and then not speak to Him. We must be a people of prayer. And there's not much more important to knowing the presence of God than prayer. Then the second week we said that if we want to know the presence of God, then we have to practice morning times of prayer. All times of prayer are important, but there's probably no time more important to knowing the presence of God than beginning the day with Him. How are we going to live a day in His presence if we don't start the day with Him in morning prayer? So we talked about that. Then thirdly, we saw that if we're going to know the presence of God in our life in relationship to prayer, then our prayer life must revolve around directed prayer. And we talked about what directed prayer was and how to direct prayer and the importance of it. Not only that we direct our prayer, that we shoot it heavenward, if you will, but then we also look up in anticipation that God will respond to our prayers. I believe that God will respond when we pray, when we direct them unto Him. And when our prayers are designed for His ears and not for the benefit of others, then God will respond. And then last week, we saw that in connection to prayer in the presence of God, we not only must pray in the morning, but we must spend the day waiting on God in prayer. We talked last week about what waiting on God is and how we wait on Him all day and the importance of that. Tonight we're going to deal with a little bit different subject, or actually the same line of thought, but a different topic in relationship to prayer. Let's read Psalm 4. We'll read the whole thing, but we're really only going to be in one verse. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. This psalm, we don't know the background of it. The Bible doesn't give us any background as to what event was taking place. It's very possible it took place during the time that Absalom was pursuing David, which is why David mentions the fact that there were those who said there was no help for him. But during that time period, there were several times when the Bible talked about the fact that David laid himself down and slept in peace, even in the midst of the conflict. You know, we don't have to have the absence of conflict to have spiritual peace. And there were many times during David's the time in which he was being pursued by Absalom that the Bible makes specific reference to the fact that David lay down and slept. And so tonight, when you read in verse 4, it says, stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And then David closes out in verse 8 when he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I want to deal with this thought tonight, the importance of bedtime prayer to the presence of God. The importance of bedtime or nighttime prayer to knowing the presence of God. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, ask God's help on all this this evening. And I'll ask Brother Enoch, why don't you lead us in prayer if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Importance of bedtime prayer. Nothing deep tonight about this, nothing complicated. Most of these prayer messages haven't been complicated messages. Usually when it comes to prayer, it's not the complication of it that's the problem. It's the doing of it that is the problem. And so nothing deep here this evening at all, as I think you'll find. You know, something most people can identify with, and I would dare say most people in this room tonight can identify with, is lying on your bed at night, unable to sleep because your mind is racing over something that happened during the daytime, or because of something that you're afraid is going to happen tomorrow, or because of some challenge that entered your life today. Can you at least on a Tuesday night say amen to that? I think most of us are familiar with laying on our bed at night worrying over something that happened. We spend most of our time, of course, worrying about things that will never happen, but we spend that time on our beds worrying about those things. I think that's something most of us can relate to. You're unable to sleep because you're rolling it over and over in your head as you think about it, examining every possibility and examining every possible income. And we're not very optimistic when we roll things over in our minds in our bed because we're usually going over some things that we hope might turn out, but mostly focusing on the worst possible outcome and the worst possible circumstance. That's what I do, and I worry about stuff on my bed. As I don't imagine how the best possible way it could come out, I spend most of my time worrying about the worst possible outcome and the worst possible circumstance. And so I think most of us are familiar with this. You know, there are some very evil, wicked, vile people out there who say they can lay down on their bed and go to sleep and never think about a thing. That's just wicked. Amen. Plus, I wouldn't boast about having nothing in my head if it was me, but some people can do that and are able to do that and say they are, that they can just lay down and go right to sleep because nothing enters their mind and nothing bothers them, so they're able to tune right out. And so we've met both of those types of people. I think most of us are the former rather than the latter. But the truth of the matter is that really, technically, both people are wrong because the Bible does tell us, you know, one worries about things that might happen, therefore it keeps them awake, and the other thinks about nothing, and therefore are able to go to sleep. But the truth of the matter is that both are wrong, because David says in verse 4 that there are certain things that we ought to commune with ourselves about on our bed. There are certain things at night that we ought to think about. There ought to be certain things at night that should be going through our minds. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, stand in awe, he says, and sin not, commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. We know what the word commune is. It means to talk to yourself, to talk to your heart, which is you. And of course, this also implies the idea of prayer, don't you think? Prayer, communing with yourself and communing with God. And when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, there are certain things I should think about. There are things that I ought to be saying to God during that time. Because as I start my day with prayer, I ought to also end my day with prayer. And as I end my day with prayer, there are things that should be going through my mind and things that should be being said between me and God. And so there are these bedtime prayers and thoughts that ought to be in our mind. I can tell, usually, if I'm communing with my heart in a right way, and if my bedtime thoughts are focused on the right things, because if I'm communing in the right way, and if I'm saying the right things to God, then as it says at the end of verse 4, as I commune upon my heart with my heart upon my bed, I will be, what's the last word before Selah? Still. I will be still. The word still simply means quiet and at rest. Some people don't do a lot of resting on their bed. But he says when we lay our heads down at night, if we're communing with our heart properly, if we're communing with God properly in prayer, saying the right things, focusing on the right things, then I should be able to lay my head down and rest and experience quiet because of the communing of my heart. Now, we already talked about the fact, or just mentioned it because we're all familiar with it, that when I commune with my heart about the wrong things, it keeps me awake. And when I commune with my heart about the wrong things, or when I don't commune with God as I ought to, many times it keeps me awake with worry. But if I do it rightly, then I can be still. Now, because of this, in verse 4, or verse 8, the last verse of the psalm, because of all this, the goal of right communion with God and the goal of right nighttime prayer is not just sleep. If you notice at the end of verse 8, at the end of the chapter, it says, and I will lay me, or both lay me down in peace and sleep. The object here is both. To not just sleep, but also to sleep in peace and to experience peace or to experience rest, spiritual rest, more than just physical rest, but spiritual rest and be able to experience both of those in our mind. That's the object. That's what we're supposed to be shooting for, to experience both of them. God wants us to know sleep, which means more than just to close our eyes and become unconscious. It means to experience rest and peace. We're not going to turn to all these, but Psalm 127, verse 2 says this, that he giveth sleep to his beloved. You believe that? That God gives us sleep, rest, quiet, peace, when we do it properly or approach him properly. God not only wants us to know sleep, but he also wants us to know peace. And in Proverbs 3:24, it says this, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. That's the idea of peace. God's people ought not be the kind of people who are up half the night worrying over worst case scenarios or worrying over things that might happen or might take place. But nor should we go to bed mindlessly without thinking about things. There are things that we should think about, things we should be saying, things we should be doing. And when we're doing it rightly, we should be able to experience this peace that David talks about and to be able to be still. David said we ought to commune with our heart, to talk to ourselves upon our bed and to God in prayer. And we need to do so. And here's why. The reason this brings peace, not does it bring peace, but does it make sense just tonight that it might also prepare us for the next day? And the reason this is so important is because as I end my day, it focuses my mind, not on every evil thing that's out there, not on every terrible possibility, but it focuses my mind on God and on the things of God. But not only does it focus my mind on those things, but it also, in focusing my mind, it also helps me to train my mind to focus on the things I ought to be focusing on. There are things we ought to focus on when we go to bed and things we ought to commune with our God about. There's enough hours during the day to worry, right? I don't have to do it at night upon my bed. There's plenty of hours to worry during the day without having to focus on it when I go to bed when it is the worst for me. And so David says there are things in our nighttime prayers and in our times of communion on our bed that we ought to be talking about and thinking about. Now let's notice this. David doesn't tell us exactly what those things are. He doesn't say, here are the five things you're supposed to commune with your heart about on your bed or talk to God about. But I would say, even though we may not all be preachers or Sunday school teachers, I would imagine most of us could probably come up with the things off the top of our head for the most part that we ought to think about upon our bed and commune with God about on our bed and talk to God about on our bed. They're not difficult to understand or difficult to even come up with. So let me give you a few of them. This is why this is simple, because you could have wrote this message tonight. First of all, number one, we ought to commune with our hearts and in prayer to God upon our beds concerning thanksgiving. Matter of fact, I think this is the very first thing that we ought to commune with God about, and we ought to be in prayer about, and with our commune with our heart about when we lay our head down at night, is this concept of thanksgiving. We should think on gratitude, and we ought to offer up prayers of thanks to God for the good things as well as the grace that God brought into my life today. And we ought to think about that as we pillow our head at night. We focus most of our attention on the evil things that have happened, but we ought to focus our attention on the good that God has brought our way today and the grace that God has brought our way. Listen to me tonight. I don't care how rotten and terrible and horrible and stinky your day has been. God has brought good into your life today, and He has brought grace into your life today. And we don't realize that because we don't focus on those things. We tend to focus on that which is evil. Look over in Psalm 68. I know that's the case because God says it is. I know it by personal experience, but I also know it's because God said so. In Psalm 68, remember this verse, which you've read, I'm sure, verse 19 of 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord," Psalm 68, verse 19, "blessed be the Lord who daily," how often? "Daily loadeth us with blessings." That word "loaded" is not hard to figure out. It means to overflow. Matter of fact, the word actually comes from a Hebrew word which means to burden. It means to be loaded down to the point of being burdened. You've seen a truck or a vehicle that's got more load than it can carry, and you can see it sinking under the burden. Of course, this is a positive use of the word when he says God blesses us in the course of a day so much that we are burdened down with the blessing so that they're overflowing in our life. So when we pillow our head at night, there has been good in my day. There's been blessings that have come into my day today, and there's been grace that has come my way because God says that He would bless us. Do you believe Him? Amen. Oh, come on, is this God's word? Has He ever lied to us? No, absolutely not. So according to this, God says daily, not every other day, not three times a week, not bi-monthly. He says, but daily, God loads us down with blessings. So I can say biblically and scripturally that I don't care how bad or horrible or rotten or stinky your day was, somewhere along the way today, God blessed you and God brought grace into your life. I would say He probably brought many more blessings than you and I are even conscious of, and we experience much more grace than we are conscious of. The problem is that when we lay on our beds at night and commune with ourselves, we tend not to commune on the blessings of God in our life. We commune with ourselves concerning every rotten, terrible, horrible, and stinky thing that came into our life today. It's true. When was the last time you heard someone up walking around your house at night and you go to him and say, "Honey, what's the matter? You can't sleep?" And they said, "No, I just can't sleep. I just got so much of the blessings of God just running through my brain. I just can't. I mean, God's been so good to me and so many blessings in my life. I just can't even sleep thinking about all those things." No, that's not what we say. What do we say? "Well, I just got this thing I'm worried." Listen, I just got this thing that I'm worried about. Where God says, "I load you down with blessings daily, every single day." Our problem is not that God doesn't bless us. It's that we commune with our heart over everything we perceive to be a bad thing, which we know in God's providential working someday will be a good thing. And we perceive it as a bad thing, and so we focus on that and worry on it. I'm not saying tonight that the thoughts of God's blessings and goodness ought to keep us awake. Actually, the opposite is true. It ought to bring peace. It ought to enable us to be still when we think of the goodness of God in our life. But the point is that we devote our thoughts and imaginations and time on our beds, not to prayers of thanks, but to that which we believe did not go our way today. And so we focus on that and we roll it over in our minds until we can't sleep at night. Now, if before we went to bed, think with me tonight, if before we went to bed, we would devote some time to bedtime prayer and some time to communing with our own heart and focus and train our minds to think on some of the blessings of God that He brought our way today, it might be that our sleep would be a little sweeter and our sleep might come a little easier to us. Instead of worrying over things that we cannot control and haven't even happened yet, why not think about what God has done for us? Instead of focusing on what we think God hasn't done yet or what we're afraid God will not do tomorrow, why not focus on what He has done today? Now, listen, I'm not trying to bring some type of self-help thing here. It's just true that God loads us with blessings, and we ought to praise God daily for the things that He brings into our life. And there's no time better to do that than at the end of the day when we've experienced the totality of them. And what better way to lay your head down on your pillow at night than to think about how good God has been to me today? And if we did that, I think we just might sleep a little better at night. Because you have things that you can thank God about instead of worrying about things we can't control or haven't happened yet. Hey, how about the fact that I'm lying in a comfortable bed? Isn't it something? We lay on our comfortable bed in our nice warm house and worry about the fact that God just hasn't been blessing me. Maybe we ought to thank God for the fact that, hey, I'm lying here in a comfortable bed in a nice warm house surrounded by more stuff than I need or will ever possibly use. Don't tell me God hadn't blessed you. He has blessed us. How about the fact that if I went to bed hungry, it wasn't because I didn't have food. It was probably because I got too much food and I'm on a diet. But it's not because I don't have enough food. Oh, come on, that's... Listen, these are those things that I say sometimes when I'm praying. I mention this from time to time. Those things that we think of as small things that wouldn't be small if we didn't have them. I don't know about you, but in my life, food is not a small thing. But we think of it that way. Well, what do you mean it's going bad? You ought to just thank God you have food. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you'd think differently if you didn't have it.
Yeah.
And thank God we don't have to lay our head down on our pillow at night hungry. I have food, I have water, I have electricity, I even have internet, which I don't need. But I have all these things. I have food and water and electricity and so many things that untold millions of people in this world can't even imagine having.
Yeah, right.
And we never take the time to imagine not having it. Because of God's blessings on our life. God loads us down daily with blessings. Had a nice, got a house, a nice warm shower, clothes to put on. There's people in this world can't imagine such things. But God's blessed us. Hey, come on. How about the fact that while I'm lying in my bed tonight, I'm lying in a quiet place? I don't have to worry about, I won't stay awake tonight fearful that a bomb is going to fall through the roof of my house tonight. I'm not worried about some terrorist group breaking in, dragging my family out into the street. Because God's given me a quiet place in which to live. And God in His grace and mercy has placed me here. Come on, that's a blessing. I'm lying down at the end of the day. Here you go. I'm lying down at the end of a day when I still have all my children. And I still have my grandkids. And I still have my wife. One day, God may take one of them or more of them. But He didn't today. That's a blessing. Come on, I don't care how bad, how terrible, or how stinky your day is. If you can end the day with your loved ones, it's been a good day. Amen? Because God's blessed us. If you're younger, or maybe we have parents who love us, friends who care about us, church family who are there for me, it's the blessings of God upon our life. But what do we spend our bedtime doing? Oh, it's this thing, this one thing that's just worrying me to death. And we miss the blessings of God. And isn't it amazing how one thing can make us forget how blessed we are in so many ways? There's no end to the blessings that come my way on any given day. If we just stop at night for a few minutes, commune with our heart, and just thank God for His goodness in my life.
Amen.
Come on, look happy about that.
Amen.
Even if you're not, pretend to be happy. Make me feel better. It's a great blessing that God has brought our way.
Amen.
And if we would commune with that, you would look much happier about that. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying to say this, that this is exactly the point, that we don't feel blessed as a people. We talk about it, but we don't feel blessed as a people. We don't feel blessed to have a warm place to stay and a bed to sleep in and clothes on our back, and we don't go to bed hungry. Because to us, God has so blessed us that we don't even perceive of it as a blessing. It's just our life. Amen? Praise God, though, that He does bless us. And it is the blessing of God. And can I tell you tonight, He can take it as quickly as He gives it. And we ought to thank God that it's because it's only by His grace that we have it. Not because we deserve it, but because He's been good to us. But not only, but there's not just the things that came my way today in the grace of God, but there are also those things that in the mercy of God He prevented today. There are things I'm glad did not come into my life today. Look over in the book of Lamentation, if you will. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, verse 21. Got a quoted part of this, most of you would recognize it. Lamentations 3, 21. You can find Jeremiah, you're almost home. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Now look what he says. Therefore I have, what's the next word? Hope. He says, there's things I commune with in my brain, in my mind, on my bed. Therefore I have hope. Here's what it is. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And he talks about the compassion that comes our way as a result of the mercies of God. Listen tonight, we ought to lay on our bed at night and commune with ourselves and thank God for the things that his grace brought our way today. But we ought to sit on our bed at night or lay on our bed at night and commune with ourselves and pray unto God and thank him for the mercy in which things did not come my way today. I'm thankful for the things that God prevented in my life today. I'm thankful that I didn't blow it today. I'm thankful for the things that God brought my way. Listen, I did not have to sit next to my children's hospital bed today. I did not have to sit next to my grandchildren's hospital bed today. I don't have to sit next to my wife's hospital bed today. I'm not sleeping in a medical center tonight. Right. I'm thankful that that ambulance I heard today wasn't coming for someone I love. That's the preventative grace and mercy of God in my life. Now, maybe tomorrow it might happen, but it didn't happen today. Well, I'm happy about that. I didn't find out that I have cancer today. I'm excited about that. I hope you are. I'm excited for you if it didn't happen. Now, maybe tomorrow I'll find out I have cancer. But I didn't find out today. Come on, we know that bad things happen in this life. But that one didn't happen to me today. One day I might find out some things come our way, but God spared me in his mercy today. And even if something did happen that seems bad to me, I deserve more. I deserve more. And even then, look what it says in verse 1 of Psalm 4. Even if something did come my way today that I perceive as a bad thing, look what David said in verse 1. He says, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He says, even when something does come my way that I perceive bad, God will enlarge me to deal with it. Now, I don't have time to park here and deal with that, but God will make us sufficient. And so I ought to thank God for the things that God in his grace brought my way today, and I ought to thank God for the mercy of the things that he spared me today. It's a good thing to lay on your bed at night and think of all the things that God didn't allow to happen to you. But instead, all we think about is the one thing that happened. And instead of thinking about, I'm so thankful tonight that we're not at the hospital. I'm just so thankful that, you know, everybody's pretty healthy in our family. I'm just thankful, you know, that we're all in church. I'm just thankful that things God didn't bring to my life today. God's brought something in today, but I'll tell you what, it could be a whole lot worse. And I'm thankful for how God has been enlarging me to deal with it and helping me. Come on, we ought to commune with our heart and be thankful for the things that God has brought our way and for the preventative mercy of God in our life. And I'm going to say this one more time and I'll move on to my second point. That is, that we are so spoiled as God's people in this country that these are things that if we ask if they were a blessing, we will say yes. But it is our prayers and the things that we think about on our bed at night that are evidence of the fact that we don't really think of them as a blessing. Because our God has been so good to us that we take for granted that these are the blessings of his grace and of his mercy. I'm telling you, we ought to lay our head on our pillow at night and just say, I thank God for what we have and for our family and for what God has done. And I am so thankful for what God prevented in my life today, because I could be going to bed tonight with a whole different perspective. But God has spared me today. Amen? And I'm thankful that if tomorrow some evil comes my way, that God will mean it for good and he will enlarge me. Or if it came my way today, I'm thankful that God enlarged me because I made it. I got through it. And here I am because God enlarged me. Secondly, This one is probably one you could think of on your own. Secondly, not only should we spend bedtime prayer thanking God for his blessings and mercy and grace and communing with ourselves about him, but secondly, we must spend time in prayer upon our beds and commune with ourselves concerning the confession of the sins of the day. Concerning the confessing of sins of the day. James 3:2 says, in many things we offend all. You believe that? That we don't offend some, we offend in many things. He says that many times we offend in all things. Matter of fact, we sin often enough and offend God often enough that God said in Ecclesiastes 7:20 that there's not a man on the earth that does good during the day but doesn't sin. There's not a matter. I don't have to lay on my head on my pillow at night and think long to think of something. Oh, see, there's got to be something I can confess. I mean, if I think about it long enough, maybe I can come up with something. Maybe I should get up and put a pot of coffee on and see if I can't come up with something I can confess. There's got to be some work. There's some. I must have said something during the day that I probably regret. I just need to think about it. That's not the case, is it? Now, hopefully there's nothing horrible and terrible. But I'm pretty sure that you and I have something we can confess during the day. Because I know this much, 1 John 1:8 says, if we pillow our head at night and say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. Right. Psalm 19, look what it says over there in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. I could have just said, read or quoted this, I guess, but verse 12. Who can understand his errors? And he says, cleanse me from secret faults. See, we need to lay under bed at night and commune with ourselves concerning our faults today because, as the psalmist says, it's hard for us sometimes to understand that we have something to confess. He says, we need confession at night. You know, it's not that we have nothing to confess on our beds, and it's nothing that we have nothing to commune with ourselves, but that our minds are... Now, listen to me tonight. Please listen to this. It's not that we have nothing to confess about. We don't normally lay in our bed at night going, oh, I just got this stuff I've got to confess, and it's just worrying me to death, and I just can't sleep till I confess this thing. No, usually our minds are so preoccupied with the way things are going in our life because we haven't been treated by God the way we think we should have been, or we haven't been blessed the way we think we should have been blessed, that never enters our mind that I might have something to confess and get right with him. The goal in Psalm 4:8 is to find sleep and peace. You know that we are such sinners and we can become so callous that we can sleep with unconfessed sin. Come on, let's say amen. It's true. We can sleep. I've done it and so have you. We can sleep with unconfessed sin, but we can't have sleep and peace with unconfessed sin. You may think it's peace, but it's not. You can't have both without confession of sin. Some people can find one, but we can't find both without confession. Before retiring upon my bed and before going to sleep, I should spend some time in communing with myself concerning the possibility that I might have sinned today. What did I do today? What wrong did I do? How was my behavior toward everyone I met today? How were my words toward all? What did I say on the telephone today? What did I type on the computer today? How was I in deed and attitude all day long? How was I in relationship? How was I today in relationship to my calling? How was I today in relationship to my wife? How was I today in relationship to my family? How was I today in relationship to my children? How was I today in relationship to my church? Was I faithful to it? What kind of impression did I give my boss and my coworkers of my God today? Did I live today in submission to God's will? Did I follow his leadership in all things? Did I submit to the direction of the Spirit of God today in my life? Did I notice the direction of the Spirit of God in my life today? Did I wrong someone? Did I leave some opportunity to do a good thing undone? Did I leave some opportunity for service undone? Did I act or speak in pride toward someone? Did I exhibit a prideful attitude? As if the things that I can do and the talents that I have are somehow mine and not God's? Did I fail to keep some commitment that I made? Did I fail to keep the commitment to read my Bible and pray? Did I fail to make some commitment I knelt in an altar and made to God today? Did I fail Him in some area? These are the things that ought to go through our mind at night. But instead, we're so preoccupied with that thing. Does this make sense to us? But if we want to find peace, we'll never find it by worrying about that thing. The way to peace and sleep is to commune with yourself over the blessings of God today, and then never, ever let the night pass without confessing the sins of the day. You know, the New Testament, we're told, never let the sun go down on your what? Wrath. Do not go to bed angry. Don't let the night pass until you've dealt with your anger towards someone. But you know, the same thing is true. We ought never let the night pass without confession of daily sin. You know, that Psalm 38, well, let's look over there in Psalm 38. Let's just read it. Look what David said concerning his sin in his life. Now, if you're saved, you understand this. Psalm 38, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thine hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore, talking about his sin. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled and I bow down greatly and I go about mourning. Listen, you can't have sleep and peace with unconfessed sin. This is what David's talking. If you're saved, his arrows stick fast in us. And it grieves us. How can you possibly know sleep and peace if we try to pass the night without the confession of the day's sins? We ought to lay on our bed at night, commune with ourselves, and think to ourselves, man, God's been so good to me today. Matter of fact, He's done this, and He's done this, and I have this, and I have that. And you know what? Thank God for His mercy, because today we didn't have to do this, and we didn't have to do that, and this didn't happen to me, and that didn't happen to me. That poor family at work that this happened to, I feel for them, and I'm praying for them, but I'm so thankful to God that wasn't our experience today. I'm thankful that I'm ending the day with as many family members as I began it with, and that we're not sleeping in the medical center tonight. Thank God. But you know what? I wronged this person today, and I left this thing undone, and I gossiped about this person, and I was prideful about that, and I had a bad attitude in this area. And there was this opportunity God gave me to do this thing today, and I didn't do it. God, forgive me. Because I don't want to let the night pass with anything between me and my Savior. Amen? Amen? We pound that in marital counseling. Don't go to sleep with anything between you and your spouse. But boy, how much more true it is that we not go to sleep with something between me and my Savior. I think then we'd have more peace, don't you think? Amen. Thirdly, if we'll know peace and sleep that God can give, then as a part of our bedtime prayers, we ought to ask God for His mercies in our night or on our night. In Psalm 91, turn over there if you will. I think this is more true today than ever. Keep something for intruders next to your bed, but pray for God's mercy on them and you. Some of you will get that later. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot upon a stone. Now this has an extended application to Christ, as many of you know. But it also has immediate application to the person who knows God and pleads for His mercy. I think before we lay our heads down on our pillow at night, We ought to plead for God's mercy upon us throughout the evening. I need somebody to watch over me, watch over my home. See, I'm sleeping, but He never sleeps. And I need the one who never sleeps to stand guard over my home and stand guard over my family and stand guard over us spiritually in the night. We can sleep in peace when we see God's mercy watching over us in the night and over our loved ones. In Psalm 4, in our text where we started, in Psalm 4, look what it says in verse 5. Psalm 4, verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. He says, we ought to plead for His mercies to watch over our home at night and our children at night and our family at night. Help us, Lord, to get a good night's rest and watch over us. And Lord, just be with us through the night. Amen? Amen. Plead God's mercy over our home. Might sleep a little better with God on guard, watching over our stuff and watching over us. And as a part of our bedtime prayer, we ought to ask God's mercy, as I said, to care for us throughout the night. So look at what he says in verse 8. He says, only the Lord makes us to dwell in safety. It doesn't matter what you have next to your bed or how much you put involve yourself in protection, whether you have an alarm system or whatever you have. It's the Lord who makes us dwell in safety. We ought to plead his mercy. God, getting ready to lay my head down on a pillow at night, I've thought about all the good things you've done in my life today. I think of all the things that you could have done, but you prevented. God, there was this thing in my life, and I've prayed and I've asked you to forgive me for that. But now as I prepare to go to sleep, God, would you watch over our home? Watch over our children and watch over our grandchildren. If your kids are gone, watch over their homes in mercy and protect them. You know, we can have peace and sleep when we're counting on him to watch over us, because like I said, he never sleeps. In Psalm 3, it says in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I waked. Why? Because I had an alarm system. No, because he sustained me. Because God is the one who watches over us. Can I tell you this? If God doesn't watch over us, there's nothing we can do to protect ourselves. We need to plead his mercy and cry out for his mercy. We should also not forget, when it comes to God's mercies, to ask him not only to watch over us in the night, but you ever think about this? We ought to ask him if he has anything to say to speak to us in the night. Look over in the book of Job, Job 33. We're almost finished, Job 33. We ought to pray before we go to bed. Lord, in your mercy, watch over our home tonight. And oh, by the way, Lord, if you've got anything to say to me, if there's something I need to know, if you need to give me some direction, would you speak to me in the night? Now, we know tonight that God will not appear in your bedroom at the foot of your bed. Say amen. He will not appear on the ceiling. Okay? There won't be a dust bunny in the image of Christ that looks like some version of Mary or something. It's not going to happen. God doesn't work that way in our time. But God can speak to our minds. And especially when he's able to recall the scriptures we've read. In Job 33, it says this in verse 14. Job 33, verse 14. If God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and he sealeth instruction. You ever have God speak to you in the night? I'm not talking about, you know, some vision, you know, where you've received revelation no one's ever heard of before. But God speaks to us in the night. I've woken up many times thinking, now I know what to do. I went to bed not knowing what to do, but I got up in the morning. You know, when you pray, God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this tomorrow, but I tell you what, I'm not going to worry about that right now. Thank you for what you didn't get. Thank you for what you gave me. Thank you for what you didn't give me. Just want to confess this sin, and God, just want you to watch over my home tonight. And Lord, would you speak to me about this? I'm not going to worry about it. If you've got something to say to me, would you speak to me tonight? And I'm telling you, God can speak to you in the night. How many can say amen? I've experienced that. Where God's spoken to us and given us direction, not in an audible voice, but we wake up and think, man, I know what to do. I know what I'm going to do now. I know what I'm going to say. I know the decision I'm going to make. I just know. I mean, God has spoken to me. I just feel it and know it, that God has made his direction clear. God can do that. That's the mercies of the night that God gives us. You know what makes them so good? It's because at night we can hear him. Because our mind's so cluttered with stuff during the day, we can't hear him. But at night, we can hear him. God comes along and says, here's what you ought to do. I don't know if he speaks to us in dreams like he once did. I've had a few dreams, but they're usually a little strange. I'm not sure God's in it. But God has spoken to me in the night. And I think we ought to ask him to do so. And then lastly, think about this and we're done. Lastly, this is going to sound a little strange, but bear with me. I read one writer who said this, and I agree with it, so I put it in here. One writer said this, that when we lay on our beds at night and we commune with ourselves and pray unto him, we ought to think about death. That seems strange. We ought to think about death. Do you know, Sleep throughout the Bible is a picture or an illustration of death. 1 Corinthians talks several times. Paul uses it as an illustration of death. He says, he speaks of the fact that when his days of the Lord's return, those who sleep in Christ will rise up. Concerning the Lord's Supper, someone got in trouble and he said, some sick and some sleep. They're dead. It's a euphemism. I don't need to use a bunch of verses. Not you're aware of that God uses sleep many times in the scriptures as a picture of death. Do you know that every night when we go to bed, it's a picture of resurrection? It's a picture of the newness of life every time we go to bed. Man, that's why God has us sleep so much. I don't know. Some people must really have it down. But in sleep, listen to me tonight, in sleep we lay our body down in hope of rest and hope of waking to a new day and a new life in the morning. Isn't that true? What do we always say? It'll be better when? In the morning. Well, I'll probably think clearer in the morning. The day will be a little brighter in the morning. A lot of times when people call me in trouble, my first thing is I ask them, you think sun will come up tomorrow? You reckon it'll come up? You know, it always does. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Your problems are over. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to say, you go to bed tonight, wake up in the morning, it's a new day. Because that's what sleep pictures. Rest and peace and the raising up to a new day, which always means new hope. Always does. One of these days, I'm going to lay down my body for the last time. And I'm going to wake in the morning to rest in peace with Christ like I have never known. Well, think about that upon our bed. I'm laying here in my bed tonight, going to try to get some sleep tomorrow. If the sun comes up, I hope it don't, but if it does, it's going to be a new day. One of these days, you know, as I lay here in my bed, I'm going to lay my body down for the very last time. And when I wake up in the morning, I want to be present with my Savior. I'll lay this body down and I'll take it up. And when I do, I'll have one like unto His glorious body. I'm going to lay aside this body and all that goes with it, the sickness and the pain and the trial and the struggle and the tears and the fears and the suffering. And I'm going to wake with one like unto my Savior's. That's good stuff. And you picture it every single night when you lay on your bed. But you know why we don't have those thoughts? Because we're worried about that thing. One day I'll lay down to sleep, only to awake in the morning to one long, eternal, never-ending, brand new day and life. Your days just seem like they're never-ending. One day it will be never-ending, and that will be a good thing. And I'll be with my Savior. I'll awake to life without sin. One of these nights, I'm going to lay my head down on my pillow and I'll confess my sins for the very last time. I'm excited about that. One of these days, I'll lay my head down on my pillow and have disappointed my Savior for the very last time. One of these days, I'll lay down and I'll be changed. And gone will be my vile, sin-cursed body, and I'll awake to life with my Lord. And every single night, as a part of our bedtime prayer, we ought to think of when we're going to lay this body down for the very last time. I'm laying here in my bed. I'm going to wake up in the morning. If the Lord don't come back or take me home. You know, this is just like one of these days when I'm going to lay down for the last time. Amen. And it'll be glory in the morning. Amen. When I'll be present with the Savior, absent from this body and present with Him. We ought to pray on our beds. Even so, come. I pray tonight will be the last night I lay this body down. Because I pray in the morning I'll be with Him. Amen. Even so, come that I might awake to sin no more. Even so, come that I might awake to suffer no more. Even so, come that I might awake not to disappoint you anymore. Even so, come that I might awake in the morning and find myself at home. That's so much better than worrying about that thing. Isn't it amazing how we allow that thing to consume us. The goal is to know His presence in our lives so that we can both sleep and be at peace upon our bed. Bedtime prayer is what focuses our mind on Him. It puts the day in perspective and trains us to be thankful upon our beds, which is such an important part of knowing His presence. An important part of that is to commune with your heart upon your bed of the grace and the mercy of God. Laying in my bed at night, so thankful for the grace of God in my life. All God's given me more stuff and I know what to do with. I have to rent a building to put some of it in. God's been so good to me. I'm so thankful for what He didn't allow today. And oh Lord, I know I let you down here today. And I don't want to close my eyes and sleep until I'm right with you. Because I don't want the night to pass without confessing my sins of the day. And Lord, would you watch over us tonight in our sleep? Your mercy upon us. And God, you know there's this thing that's been on my mind. Would you speak to me tonight? It'd be so good to wake up in the morning and say, now I know what to do. Would you speak to me tonight if necessary? Lord, if there's something that I don't even realize, would you speak to me in the night if it be your will to do so? And then, Lord, as I lay here, even so come, because I can't help but think of the fact that one of these days I'm going to lay this body down for the last time. And I pray that you would come, and tonight might have been my last confession. I pray tonight you might come, and today will be the last day I disappointed you. And I pray that you might come tonight, and this will be the last day that I am not present with you. I pray that you come tonight so that come morning I'll be home. He might not come tonight, but He might. And we ought to pray with that on our mind. That would make sleep so much better. Don't you think? That thing will be there in the morning. And if the Lord comes back, it won't matter. And if it doesn't, it'll be there in the morning. You might as well get a good night's rest. Because everything looks better in the morning. Why don't you stand with me if you would?